Hello, everyone. Good to have you on the call. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon.
Yes, wherever you are.
It's so good to be with you again. It's good to be with you because it's always good to talk about authentic power. And authentic power means becoming emotionally aware, choosing responsibly. It means becoming conscious of a role that you are playing but might not have been aware of before in an enormous and unprecedented transformation in human consciousness that's affecting lots of people. And it's probably affecting you, or you wouldn't be drawn to a call like this one. So we'll start this call, and then you can see what it is that we love to talk about. We love to talk about your life. We love to talk about awareness. What we're going to talk about today is, oh, pardon me, beloved, did you have something
to
add?
No, I'm excited to be talking about this.
What we're going to be talking about now is what to do, what do you do when you have a broken heart? What do you do when you have a broken heart? Now, just about everybody, not just about, everybody has had what the vernacular language calls a broken heart. Either you wanted to be with someone and that person didn't want to be with you, or there was an illness, or a child was injured, or a child died, or a parent that you depended on, or a friend that you depended on, passed on. We're going to suggest a very different way of looking at this, a very different way. We don't ask you to believe what we are presenting to you, but we do ask that you open yourself to the possibility that it might be helpful to you. And if it is helpful, then experiment. If we think it might be helpful, then experiment with it. And if you don't think it will, then of course, just let it go. When an individual says something like, he gave me a broken heart, or my heart is broken over him, it puts that individual in the position of being a victim and at the mercy of what happens in the external world. When you create authentic power shows you the opposite. You are not a victim. If you feel that someone else is causing your pain, you are actually choosing to experience, to continue feeling the pain that you have by not looking at it. By not looking at it as coming from an interior dynamic and choosing to challenge it rather than indulge it. Now, I said a lot just then, so I'll go over it again. If you feel that someone else is causing your pain, like someone broke your heart, what's happening there? You are actually choosing to experience, to continue to feel that pain that you're calling a broken heart. How are you continuing to feel that? By not considering the possibility, or looking at the possibility, or the reality, actually, that it's not coming from what someone else did, but from an interior dynamic. That means the dynamic inside you. Finding that dynamic and challenging it, rather than simply indulging the pain that you're feeling and saying, he broke my heart. When you do that, you start to create authentic power. Creating authentic power shows you that you are not a victim. Now let's go into this so that you can see what we're talking about. And we're going to have plenty of time on this call for you to ask questions if there's anything that you're not clear about. So please write your questions down. Most individuals think that other people cause their emotional pain. As you create authentic power, you begin to see for yourself that your emotional pain is not caused by other people. It's not caused by circumstances. It's not caused by anything outside of you. Other people, circumstances outside of you activate brighten parts of your personality, parts of your personality that originate in fear. And the pain that you feel comes from those parts. It doesn't come from somebody who broke your heart. This person you're thinking broke your heart only activated a dynamic in you. In other words, the origin of your experiences, painful and blissful, are interior. Once you see that, you realize that it's not someone leaving a relationship or dying that is causing your pain. It is you choosing not to challenge a part of your personality that has been activated and is generating the pain that you feel. Now, if you've read The Seat of the Soul, which we're assuming that most of you on this call have, then you'll know what we're talking about. But if you haven't read it, then consider what we're telling you now, or suggesting to you now, that your emotional experiences originate in interior dynamics in you. And circumstances and people in the world activate those dynamics. And when those dynamics are activated, you feel emotions. When you create authentic power, you learn through your experiences that painful physical sensations in the vicinity of your fourth energy processing center, in other words, that's your chest.
Your heart.
That's the vicinity of your heart. That when painful physical sensations occur in this area of your body, it's when you close your heart to love, either the love you have to give or to the love that others are giving to you. It's not a matter of having a broken heart. It is not a matter of what someone is doing to you. It is a matter of how you are reacting to news such as, I don't want to be with you anymore, or someone has died. When you feel that someone else is causing your pain, you're actually choosing to continue to experience it by not looking at that inner dynamic, the dynamic in you that is creating your pain, and choosing to challenge that dynamic rather than simply indulge the pain that it creates. This is what most people do. This is what five sensory personalities have done since our origin as a species. They have blamed their emotions on the external world. But when you start to look at your emotions as originating in you, then you don't have to look at the external world to try to change them. In fact, you realize that that's fruitless. Instead, you look inward instead of outward. You find where that pain is coming from in you, where that dynamic is. That means what you experience it as. And then you start to challenge that, challenging your interior dynamics that cause emotional pain, and cultivating your interior dynamics that generate blissful emotions is creating authentic power. When you do that, you start to create authentic power.
I think that's the most exciting part of creating authentic power, because for me, what it did for me when I read The Seat of the Soul, I realized that I had been a victim of many things I felt for all of my life, feeling inferior, feeling hurt, feeling jealous, I mean, on and on and on and on. And it wasn't until I read the book that I began to see that the things that were happening outside of me didn't really have to do, they activated. I understood they activated. At first it was intellectual. I understood that I was, my frightened parts of my personality were being activated by circumstances or things people said, things outside of me. And it took a while for me to begin to understand that.
So you may think that what we're saying, or possibly, if you're skeptical, and by the way, skepticism is good. Cynicism is not good. But skepticism is good. Skepticism means, can that be true? Could that actually be true for me? If it is, how could I find out? How can I see for myself?
Well, cynicism is good because it...
No, skepticism.
Skepticism, I mean, it's good because it's curiosity, looking at it from a...
Yes, it's more than curiosity. It may be even, I don't know if I believe that or not. It may be, I'm going to see if that sounds so different to me, that I want to find out for myself if what they're saying is actually true. And you can do that. You can do that for yourself. In fact, you can do it right now. When you reflect on your pain, any pain that you feel, you'll see that you felt it before in other places, in other times, with other people. In other words, we're using the example now of a broken heart. If you feel someone broke your heart, you realize, if you look at it, that this is not the first time you felt that pain. You felt it before. But it might not have been with this particular person. In fact, you felt it so many times before, you'll begin to realize that it was not with this particular person. And that means that this particular person that you feel is causing your pain is actually the latest in a series of individuals who have activated the frightened parts of your personality that generates this kind of pain.
Mm-hmm. I can give you some examples. For example, if you continue to believe that your husband, like I did believe when I was married so many years ago, to someone, I believed he was causing my pain, and I felt that either I had to escape my pain, I tried to change him, and then later I tried to replace him, and it was really interesting. So it means if I replacing your husband or your wife with someone who will love you. Or change your husband's behavior or wife's behavior so that they will be the way they were before or the way you want them to be, that's what pursuing external power is. But neither of those is going to solve the problem. It will not alter the inner dynamic in you that is causing your pain. I was very aware of that with me. It did not change it. This dynamic will remain in place, fully intact, to be activated again in the future. Even if your husband changes his mind, even if you manipulate him into changing his behavior, even if you decide to replace him and you feel good again for a little while because you are successful, this frightened part of your personality, your internal energy dynamic, will not be affected. You won't change that at all. It'll keep coming up. Feeling like you are a victim is an experience of a frightened part of your personality that is convinced that the only way to relieve this pain is to change the physical world, what's going on outside of you. And that's what most people try to do. Most people don't even know there is a choice. But once you see that there's a choice, you can do something about it. So what most people try to do, they become angry, they're rageful, they withdraw emotionally, weep. They do everything they can to manipulate the person they feel is causing their pain to change. And if that doesn't work, they seek agreement from frightened parts of other people's personalities. So they gossip, they try to get agreement, but none of this will solve the problem.
They say to someone else, this is what he did, and I'm so hurt. And they're looking for agreement. They're looking for someone to say, that means a frightened part of another personality to say, really, that's terrible. I can't believe he would do something like that. Oh, my husband or my wife did something. Look what she did. I know what your pain is. This is really terrible. I don't blame you for feeling, and on and on and on. That's seeking agreement. It's gossip.
But it doesn't support the person. If you're doing that to someone, it doesn't support them if they're having a heartache. The only thing that can support them is for you to help them to see there's a possibility that what's going on, that this is what has happened, is activating something in you that you need to look at. That would be helpful to them, to look at that. And without attachment, if you said something like that, it could change someone's life because they begin to say, oh, well, maybe it did have something, maybe it had to do with me, even though, yes, my husband did that or my wife did that, I'm still having this pain again, and it's happened before. So it's such an amazing exploration. It's an exploration that most people can, so in other words, a lot of times people don't feel their pain, but heartache, when something like this happens, you really can usually feel pain in your heart. That really is painful, a painful sensation.
Well, how about jealousy?
And jealousy,
that
too.
That is excruciating.
Absolutely.
All of the experiences of fear are painful.
But sometimes people don't feel them because they're thinking about it rather than actually feeling what's going on in their body.
That's right.
Yeah.
But as long as you believe that the only way to relieve your pain, if you are experiencing pain, if you're that aware, exists outside of yourself. As long as you believe that, you will attempt to change the world. And that is the pursuit of external power. And that leads only to violence and destruction.
So now what we want to do, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you are experiencing from hearing what we're saying to you. And maybe a time when you had a broken heart and you realized you needed to change yourself rather than change someone's circumstances. So we're going to take short, brief calls with people, talks with people, because we want to make sure we can talk to as many people as possible. So we want to know if this was helpful to you. So why don't you just for a moment, if you can, just take a moment and just see what is it that you would like to contribute to our community of people that are on this call with us.
Now, if you're driving or you're in a public place like an airport and you don't feel comfortable, keep your eyes open and be aware of where you are and what you're doing. But at the same time, allow yourself to consider this question that Linda's asking.
Now, what is it that you would like to share? What is it you would like to do? And I want to say for the new people, I do want to say what you need to do to raise your hand. So Gary and I know that you want to talk. You need to press 1 on your keypad, and that will tell us that you have your hand raised, just so you know. I know others of you may know that. So what I'm going to do is we'll just keep, just be for a minute. I'm just going to let you be for a minute and see what is coming up in you that would, you know, that you would like to share about how you've discovered about this for yourself, that it's not outside, it's inside, or the questions that you have. So go ahead and about this. Go ahead and just be with it for a moment. Okay, go ahead and raise your hand by pressing 1 on your keypad on your phone, and we'll know that you have your hand raised. And we're really looking forward to talking with you and finding out what you're discovering or what insights you're having from what we're saying or what experiences that you've had. So go ahead and press 1 on your keypad as we go through talking with people. So I'm going to call on Sybil. Sybil, we're going to unmute your microphone. I'll let you know when it's unmuted so you can speak. I don't think I've seen you on here before, on the call before, so... Sybil, okay. Can you hear me? Hi.
He says hi. It's my first time. Hi.
Sybil, you're on the call.
It's very, so I actually read the book and I had this call and I said, I wish there was an answer in the book. And then I ended up with this call. So I'm very excited. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I just want to be quick since there are other people. And my question is actually different. I understand the authentic power exactly. But for me, I think different. For me, it's more positive than negative. Like when I fall in love, I'm not like blaming the other person. But whatever I feel is such a... How can I say, beautiful feeling? This makes me emotional. Then I don't want to let it go. So it's like not bad, but it looks like good. And the feeling is so good. It might be addiction, but the feeling is really good. It makes me more loving. It's like the thing that. It makes me feel like I'm not blaming other person. I know the other person is free, but me, I don't know how to let go that feeling that the person, I know that's also coming from me, that's true, but still, you have to reflect on somebody sometimes, and when that person gone, it's actually deal with yourself. So I don't know if
okay.
I'm clear.
Okay, so Sybil, I think I understand what you're saying, and what I'm going to do is we're going to answer your question the best we can for right now. And what we do sometimes on calls, if after the call, we'll put people put this recording on our website. Is it okay if we use your recording once we answer your question on our website? Is that okay with you? Because I know you're new.
That's
fine with you.
Will there be my name or last name, anything?
No.
Oh, that's fine. That's
okay.
That's fine.
So just your first name, it'll because I've said your name. So.
Yeah, first
okay.
name.
All right. Thank you. So I'm going to put you on mute now, and we're going to answer your question, and then we're going to go on to someone else. So let's do that right now. So Sybil, this is what I'm thinking. I don't know where you're calling from, but I think I understand your question. And if it's not the question, you can also email. You can email us at lifeschool@seatofthesoul and ask a more in-depth, if this isn't what you wanted to hear. But this is what I think you said. I think you said that you fall in love with someone, and you keep feeling really wonderful and more loving, and then they don't want to be with you anymore, and it's painful to you. That's what I think you said. Is that what you heard, my beloved?
Yeah. Is can you unmute Sybil for a minute and make sure that that's what she meant?
Yes.
Sybil,
yes.
Is that what you meant?
Yes, true.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay. I think you understand authentic power, intellectually. A lot of times we understand it, but then we feel the pain when someone leaves us. We think we're really loving, and what I found for myself, Sybil, I'm going to say this, my own experience is that I would fall in love with someone, and I would feel so loving and so caring about them. And what I realized is that if they would leave me or I would get hurt somehow, that actually it wasn't really love for them. It was my need to have them love me. And so when they would leave, then it would be very painful for me. And I didn't understand the dynamic for a long time. But as I began to understand it, I could see that my love, what I had a deeper love for them, but the love that was coming out was love that came from fear, not from love, from real loving part of my personality.
So to be clear, love doesn't come from fear. Love and fear are opposite. So what many people think of as love, especially in romantic love, is actually need. It's not unrequited love that hurts, but unrequited need. If you didn't need someone, there'd be no pain, there'd be no expectations, there'd be no disappointment. Love is accepting. It's a beautiful experience. It's more than an experience. But I just want to bring that out. That when most people say, I love this person, sometimes what they're saying is, I need this person. And there's a big difference. Need is painful.
And Sybil, after I had read The Seat of the Soul, I had an experience like that where I thought I really was loving someone, I really was in love with someone, and what happened is he was actually wasn't going to be with me anymore, and it was quite painful for me, but I could see, oh, that wasn't really loving him. I needed him. I wanted him to be with me, and when he wasn't with me in the way that I wanted, it was very painful to me, but then I thought there's something much deeper than the love that comes from need, because that wasn't really love, it was fear. This fear of not having someone, I wanted someone to complete me. So I'd like you to just consider that there's something much deeper than that, the deeper love of soul to soul. And that's something that I learned by feeling the pain of that need that I had. And changing and beginning to change myself so that I didn't need someone, I would really just love them. And anytime I felt any kind of attachment, I knew that I was not really, it wasn't love, it was really fear that was masking as love. So I mean, that's all I'm going to say about it right now, but I'm sure we can go more into that later if we need to leave out in this call.
I hope that's helpful to you, Sybil, and you'll be able to discuss that later in this call.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're on the call.
So let's see, beloved.
I'm going to call on Patty. Patty, we're going to open up the phone lines for you. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Gary and Linda. Thank you very much for the topic. Recently, a friend and I were told we couldn't do something in an organization we're in. We're karate practitioners, and we were told we couldn't test for our fourth degree black belt. And for about 24 hours, we were desolate. We felt like we were being personally attacked, even though they said it wasn't because of us. But then we were able to totally let go of what was going on in them and look at what was going on in us. And we got...
Patty, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm going to come back to you because I couldn't hear what you said.
Okay, sorry.
The very beginning. I'm going to put you on mute again, and we're going to come back to you.
Patty, we're hearing a lot of noise, like your a microphone's being moved or a phone's being moved, and we can't hear your words.
So we'll come back to you in just a little while and see if we can do that. I heard some of what you said, but we'll come back. So I want to call on Jay. Hello, Jay. Let me see. Yeah, you're not unmuted yet. There you are. Hi, Jay.
Hello, Jerry and Linda, and all of my spiritual partners.
Yeah.
I guess what I wanted to share is thank you for sharing your perspective today. It gave me some insight of what I've been creating. My son recently has been staying with us, and I was inside myself and then externally trying to control his perspective of his relationship. And what I realized is that agreement that you were mentioning, I was doing even more than trying to agree with him. I was trying to point out and show him how his pain was coming from exterior sources. And this is really helpful for me to see that I was not only, I would say, misguiding and teaching him, but I also wasn't feeling the pain that I was having in my body and that I was actually caretaking again. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm.
Thank you, Jay. That's an excellent observation. That excellent means that's accurate.
Yeah, I think that it's so important, you know, to realize that when we're actually giving advice or caretaking someone, it's because we don't want to feel our own pain. And that's really beautiful that you saw that, because once you can feel your own pain, you can begin to say things with clarity and see things with clarity. It'll be much more supportive and helpful. Thanks so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
The ironic thing is he was trying to tell me that his pain was being caused by himself. Thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Great. Thank
beautiful.
You.
This will change your relationship. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I want to call on Priscilla. Hi, Priscilla.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Gary.
How
are
you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Well, good. Feeling. Yeah? Sorry?
Is this the Priscilla that was at the journey?
Yes.
Were you at the
Priscilla from Panama?
This is Seoul in the summer? Yeah. Okay, good. Hi.
Oh, are you in Panama, Priscilla?
Oh, yeah, it's rainy and sunny. Rain and sunny. Humid. But thank you for the call, and I've been feeling it all in my body all these 2 months. So my body's been, after the retreat, increasing the feelings. I just wanted to answer the question when you or the intention to check in ourselves what we wanted to create, and when you, or which was our intention to make the question. I felt the pain. I'm not sure if it's the first point or the second shot. It's close to my yes, ovaries, and I felt like it was fear because, or a frightened part that felt, oh, I'm going to ask something for myself, for my own pain, and I wasn't thinking about others, how it will be helpful for others. So I wanted to add that about the intention of the call, and if you can see if it's like, yes, it was actually a painful, frightened part of myself. Hello?
I'm here, Priscilla.
I'm not sure I understood you, Priscilla.
Sorry, that was like when Linda said this, check on your intention of your question, I felt a pain in my first point because I felt that my question wasn't about co-creation. It was more about myself and my own pain, so I felt bad. So I felt it in my second chakra. And I'm not sure which is the way.
Well, you know,
I felt bad.
Yeah, well, it depends, because a lot of times a question that someone has can support a lot of people. So it may be your specific question, but it doesn't mean that it won't be supportive of other people. So you can just add to your intention that you want that whatever you say to be of support to other people as well. You see what
I did that after, but I just, yes, I did that after, and then I become aware that I want to I need to be more aware that I want to co-create all the time. But yes, I just wanted to share that first, and I don't want to be too long, but yes, about the broken heart, I've been feeling, well, that kind of broken heart this week, because I have to take some decisions around my children's education, or what to do with them, like if they stay in school or not. So my question specifically, I've been going to school for the whole week to stay with him. I've been, I suppose, judging and seeing a lot of what's happening in the system of education, and I've been on pain. I wanted to think, or I was trying to be aware of what I was seeing, but it was painful in all parts of my body. So I suppose all my observations were from fear, from pain. So my question is, how I know, well, I have lots of questions, but how I know, like, I suppose I'm learning to become aware, but which is the difference between getting aware and being judged and judged? Because the following question is what I've been feeling and noticing, like my pain comes also because I don't feel I belong to this system. So how I can change things, or because as Gary was saying, it's not about the situation or people outside, it's in you, but how I recognize it, like my fears to, like, my children get like the opposite of education that I want, because it's a system that I think I don't believe or I just don't agree with. So it's difficult to notice, like, if I'm just being aware of this is not a place for me, or I'm just judging around and coming from frightened parts.
So Priscilla, I think I understand.
More or less my question.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. So this is, and beloved, if you have anything to say about this too, I think what you're saying is what you think you see outside of yourself is that there's an educational system that's not really healthy for your children. that won't really give them what they need, and you're judging and angry about that. That's what I think I'm hearing.
Yeah, but I'm not angry. So to me, it's like, but it's still so painful. So I suppose I need to discover. Like, I can see it. I don't belong to this, and so I need to make change. So, but it still hurts. So how I know that it's just not I still need to stay in the system because I still have pain, and then there's more things to learn from myself.
Yeah, Priscilla, I had a thought that I wanted to share with you. There's a difference between discernment and judgment. For example, you can look at this education system and discern. You can simply see that there are things in it that you don't think are constructive, or that you don't think would be helpful to your children, or maybe to anybody's children. That's just looking at something. But the pain that you feel, that's something else. The pain that you feel doesn't come from discernment. The pain that you feel comes from frightened parts of your personality that judge it, or frightened that they won't be able to get out of it. So feeling pain doesn't mean that that this educational system doesn't have the inadequacies that you are seeing. It means that you have a frightened part of your personality that's reacting to them. So you can still make the decision to remove your children or find another system or try to make this system better without indulging in the emotional pain. See, that's the difference between discernment, which means you see something, and emotional pain, which means you judge something, you're disapproving of it, you want to change it, you feel you need to change it, or you're frightened that you can't change it.
Right.
So I hope this is helpful to you.
Very helpful. Yeah, it was more or less how I felt, that I have the right to change things. Just I've been learning a lot of my frightened part, so I will take it and make some... try to add what I can, and if it's not yet, what you say might be the last part, that my fear comes to the things that I don't feel that I can do to change things.
That's right, and so. if you decide that you want to try to change things, or you realize that maybe you can't change things, or this is the best that you can get, you can do that without judgment. It's the judgment that's causing you pain. It's the fear that's causing you pain.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you can't take action, that you can't do what you feel you need to do. But you can do it with appreciation. You can appreciate that the universe has given you this opportunity to see a frightened part of your personality. You can be grateful that the people at the school or in the system are allowing you to learn things about yourself so that you can change the education your children receive, or maybe change education, but not from fear, not from judgment, resentment, anger, but from love.
By changing yourself first.
By changing yourself first.
Absolutely. So thanks so much for that, Priscilla. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'd like to call on Pam right now.
Hello.
Hi, Pam.
Yeah, hi everyone. Good to be here this morning for sure. What came to me immediately is something that's made a big impact in my life and that I've really been able to look at differently, and it was my brother took his own life about 20-some years ago, and the pain and the powerlessness that I felt around that was just so intense. And something that you said, Gary, before was about that if I don't really challenge this internal dynamic, it doesn't change. And I didn't really know how to challenge it. I didn't even know that it was coming from fear. I just thought it was the normal way to respond because my frightened part or my five-sensory way of thinking at that time was just look at all the pain that he's caused. But as I became more aware about looking at what was going on with me, it's changed my whole relationship. It's changed how I interact with my family, my other siblings, and his children who were young at the time. And so, I just know that it just makes such a difference. And it changes, the thing I really love about this is that it's changed my whole relationship with the soul who was my brother this time around. I mean, when I think of him now, I don't think of him with pain. I think of him in kind of communication and conversation. And, you know, I just love the difference. There's still, I noticed that even when I was thinking about it when it first came up, I had this little bit of fullness in my chest. So I know there's still a little something there, but I know it's just so totally different than how I thought of it for many years because I didn't know any different, didn't really know what to do differently. So, I mean, I'm just extremely grateful for the experience of him in my life, but also for the ability to really understand on a deeper level, you know, what our soul-to-soul connection is about. So I thanks for the topic. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Pam.
That's beautiful,
Pam. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I think we're only going to have time for one more question. Sorry, I really love to hear all of your questions. Of course, you can always email us at lifeschool@seatofthesoul.com. If we didn't answer your question, I know we're not going to get to all of them, but I do feel free, or if you think of something that you want to say after the call, feel free to do that. But we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to answer a call. We're going to answer one more question. Then we're going to just make a couple of announcements. And mostly what we're going to do is have you have experiences with each other in a small group, which I know will, I think you'll be very delighted. If you're new on the call, you'll see that these small group experiences talking about the subject that we're talking about can be so supportive. So I'm going to call on...
Is it Kasia or Kasia?
Kasia, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how to say the name.
Hi.
How do you say your
name? Kasia. Hi, Kasia.
Kasia,
hi.
Hi, I'm new. Thank you. This is my first time.
Oh, wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you. So my question is, you know, I just started, I read the book many, many years ago, but I just wasn't able to connect. I started reading it again. I'm definitely connecting to it better. My question is, I've been married for 16, 17 years now, and how do I distinguish letting go of someone I'm trying to decide whether I want a divorce or not. But I'm kind of like split right now in the sense of is he like a lesson in my life that all these things are becoming activated and I need to sort of go through it in order to have authentic power? Or how do I let it go without feeling not even sure if it's guilt or just let it go? Like, I'm not sure of a difference. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Am I clear or?
Yeah, no, you're clear. Is it okay if I use your sharing right now?
Sure.
On the recording? Okay. So I just want to say that, of course, Gary and I aren't going to give you advice about whether to not be in a relationship, be in a relationship. And mm-hmm. it's true that it sounds like you do have things to learn for sure because you're still having frightened parts of your personality become active due to his behavior in your life, it sounds like. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that what you
Yes.
And so it sounds like now you're rereading The Seat of the Soul and looking at it in a deeper way. And you're on
correct.
This life school call. That is really good. And I would recommend that you continue to do what's in the study guide. If you've got the 25th anniversary edition, that you
mm-hmm.
really, because the more you know about your emotions, and you know about your intuition, and then you can make choices that are coming from a place of love rather than fear. And that's really the most important thing: is am I making this choice from love or am I making it from fear? That's really
mm-hmm.
the bottom. And one thing that I would recommend, and it's a ways away, but we have an event that's a five-day event that we do every year. It's called the Journey to the Soul. And
mm-hmm.
it's something that can really help you to be able to be with other people for 5 days and to actually practice spiritual partnership with others. It can be very helpful. What I can do, if you send in your phone number to us, to Life School, I'll have some of our team call you from the Journey to the Soul and Authentic Power Immersion Support Team, give you a call, and they can give you some ideas about what other things you might be able to do. Because these are such important questions, really important.
Akash, you're really looking at something significant, because if you change your relationship, the parts of your personality that this relationship is activating are going to come with you. And you'll find that they will be activated again in the future by different people.
Right.
But at the same time, it's a matter of intention. If you leave this relationship, are you leaving it with love? Are you leaving it with anger, with judgment, with fear? So what we suggest is that you experiment with just these things. There's no right and wrong answer to this. Certainly we would never recommend. We don't give advice. I myself would think that it's not productive after a while to stay in a relationship that's abusive. But you haven't really spoken of this relationship in those terms. So what we're discussing is how to be in love, how to move on, and what does it mean to move on? You can't move on from your life. You're in your life, and you can continue to stay in your life until your soul goes. But you're in that process, and this is the reason for your life. You're going to continue to experience frightened and loving parts of your personality. And as you create authentic power, you begin to be able to distinguish between them. And then choose if you want to act on the loving part or act on a frightened part. There's no right or wrong answer. There's cause and there's effect. So we suggest that you experiment with distinguishing between love and fear to the best of your ability, and experiment with challenging fear, which means not acting on it when you experience it, and instead acting from love, even when the frightened part of your personality is still active. In other words, it's still jealous or resentful or angry or righteous.
Yeah.
So I hope this helps you, and I agree with Linda. The journey to the soul is a good way to go a step beyond reading the books and the Life School.
Actually getting to practice with the people who are in spiritual partnership with you, that will practice with you. Yeah.
Because for everything that we said today about creating authentic power, we want to be clear. You cannot create authentic power simply by knowing about it. And in this call, we're helping you to know about it and understand it better. But to benefit from it, you must apply what you know about authentic power. You need to develop emotional awareness and practice responsible choice if you want to be able to recognize the parts of your personality that are confining you, creating destructively, and move beyond their control. Because only creating authentic power will close the gap between your intellectual understanding of it and your painful emotional experiences.
Indeed. So thank you so much for being on the call. It's really great. I hope to see you next month. So right now, what we're going to do, everyone, we're going to go into small groups. So I'm really looking forward. If there's any way you can stay on the call, and especially if you don't want to, if you don't want to get in a group, challenge that frightened part and get in the group. See what happens. And enjoy talking with other people about this subject. And so what I'd like to do is now, if you absolutely can't stand, of course we understand, you can go ahead and get off the call now if you aren't able to stay. That's of course. But if you can't this time, make sure you do next time, because I think you'll find it really helpful. So you'll be in a room, you'll be in a group with like three or four other people. And you'll just have your own little group together. You'll be speaking, and then there'll be people that will be also coming into the group sometime to that have had a little more experience in your group. So this is the thing, though. So you're going to be in your group, and right now, what I want you to do is take a moment and just notice what it feels like. You're in a group, you don't even know it yet, and you're going to get a chance to say hello to everyone in your group. So right now, prepare yourself, and I'm going to ring the chime, and then when I do, we're going to open up the microphone so you can say hello to everyone in your group, and they can say hello to you. You only have a minute to do this, and then we're going to do a little exercise that has to do with what we talked about today. So I'm going to go ahead.
This is 1 minute total.
One minute total, but yeah. Just... jump right in and say who you are and where you're from, just so they know. You'll have a minute. Go ahead and do that now. Okay, if you haven't had time to say hello to each other, you'll have time in a few moments. So we're going to go ahead and mute you again just for a moment, because we're going to go through a little exercise that I want you to just be with yourself for a moment, and then you're going to share with each other and one at a time. So if you can, close your eyes. If you can't, that's okay. But recall a time when you had a broken heart, when something happened that really felt painful, involving someone you really cared about, no longer being with you. It was difficult and hard to forgive or to forget. And at some point, you realized that you needed to focus on what you could change in yourself. Remember how that felt. Be with that for a minute. But I'm going to say, or maybe you still have not forgiven, or it's still painful to remember. Open yourself to allowing new ways of perceiving what happened in a way that could support you in your growth. So go ahead and do that now. Just be with that for a little bit. About a minute. Okay, so now the next part of this is I'm going to ring the chime and have, so you'll pick one person. One person decides. You jump in and you're the first person in your group to speak. And then the next person, and then the next person. But I'm going to ring a chime between so you'll know. You'll each have a minute. But this is how what I want you to do. So the first person, I want you to share when you were brokenhearted and you realized that you needed to change yourself rather than change the circumstances or the other people. To share, either share about that or share about how different you would feel if you did change yourself and you challenged that part of you that still feels like a victim. So either way, share whatever comes up for you to share right now in whatever circumstance. So I'm going to ring the chime, and then don't be shy. First person, jump in and begin to share, and you'll have 1 minute to do that, and then I'm going to ring the chime for the next person. So go ahead and do that. First person. Okay, now move to the second person, and you share your experience. Go ahead and do that now. Okay, move on to the third person now, and you'll have time later to if you didn't finish. So go ahead and move on to the third person so you can share your experience when you had a broken heart and you realized that you needed to change yourself instead, or how it would feel if you did. So go ahead and just say that now. Go ahead and share with your partners. Okay, move on to the next person now. You'll have a minute. So go ahead and do that now. Okay, I'm going to give you one more minute. So go ahead and complete whatever you need to, and then I'll tell you what the next part of what you're going to be doing is once we get off the phone. So go ahead and finish up with your group now, whoever needs to say something. Okay, I'm going to mute the mics just for a moment. Gary and I just want to say something before we leave the call. So we're getting ready to leave. There we go. We're getting ready to leave the call now. And we are really excited about being on the call with you next month in October. And some of you are going to be seeing much sooner than that and hearing from you much sooner. And what I wanted to say, and Patty, I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to talk to you because there was just so much noise we couldn't, but will you please send in what you wanted to say? I'd really love to hear what it is that you wanted to say, but we couldn't hear you at all. So we're going to have another session, as I said, next Saturday, October 6th. So I'm looking forward to being with you then. And now what I'd like you to do is stay in your group for the next 20 minutes or so and just talk about how this way of understanding yourself, the painful parts of you, the frightened parts of your personality are created, your pain is created from your own frightened parts, how that supports you.
In other words, we've been talking about what people call a broken heart, but any painful emotional experience, take a look at those too. For example, jealousy, anger, superiority, inferiority, rage, humiliation, frustration.
All of these things create painful sensations in your body, somewhere in your energy centers.
Precisely. And they're all experiences of fear. And the larger perspective is that it's not circumstances or people that are creating any of those painful emotions in you, but internal dynamics in you. And the way to move beyond it is not to try to change other people or the world. That's the pursuit of external power, and it won't help you. But to look inside and locate and experience, which means feel completely as you can, the frightened parts of your personality that have been activated, and then choose not to act on them. So that's the larger perspective, and see how what you've learned in this call can help you can use to apply to these other painful experiences in your life. And by the way, if you have experiences that are wonderful and you think that they're caused by another person, those also were caused by loving parts of your personality, and you can cultivate them.
Say that again, beloved. Will you say that again?
In other words, we've been talking about most people blaming the external world for the pain that they're feeling,
mm-hmm.
because actually that pain comes from internal dynamics. Most people also credit the external world with any blissful or beautiful feelings that they experience. But again, those experiences come from internal dynamics in you, from loving parts of your personality that you can experience and cultivate so that you don't feel yourself needful of being with people that you think are making you feel healthy and whole.
Yeah, however, as we I think it was with Sybil, we were talking about how she felt loving and wonderful experiences with people, but then when they would leave, it would be painful to her. So sometimes that comes from a needful part or a frightened part of your personality. So being able to distinguish the real loving parts of your personality that truly love other people and that don't have attachment to whether they're there or not there, as opposed to loving parts of your parts of your personality that mask as loving parts that seem like they're really loving, but they're actually very much attached and wanting to please that person and keep that person with them and are really upset when the person leaves. So that would be an example of a frightened part that seems like it's a loving part, but it's not. Boy, we're getting into some deep things. So.
Well, it's not actually that difficult to understand. What we're saying, especially in terms of romantic attachment, what you're giving credit to someone else for your feeling, which is more complete about yourself, is something that you can cultivate in yourself instead of trying to think that you need to have another person with you for you to have experiences of wholesomeness or creativity or being lovable.
Well, my experience is I'm always learning more about how to create authentic power.
Yes.
It's a continuous, ongoing, deepening process. I'm always learning more, and I'm so grateful for that because it's made such a difference for me. So what we're going to do now is we're going to open up the microphones in a moment when I ring the chime. And begin to look at what we were talking about with your group. So go ahead and share whatever it is that you need to share with your group. And we're going to be leaving the call now, and we'll be, if you could finish up around 10:30, that would be great. Wonderful. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your weekend. Blessings. So when I ring the chimes, here you go. Go ahead. Your mics are open to each other.